Welcome to episode number 5 of Cacao with Pranamore, the podcast with Fern Olivia and Maxine Marlowe. I'm so excited to be here with you, my love, and to give another outlook on coming into alignment with your purpose.
Yeah, welcome to this episode. This is the part 2 of our 4th episode. And the 4th episode was all about the question, which is probably one of the most asked questions, of what is my purpose? That's a question we explored and talked about in that episode. And today we are continuing to dive a little bit deeper on some of the parts we left out last time.
And some new parts that we've talked about over these last couple of days that inspired us even more for this episode.
Exactly. And some new parts. So to start sharing, let's just pick up where we ended the last episode. And that was all about the theme of self-awareness. Because what I was saying at the end was that, so from my perspective, embarking on this journey of finding out, okay, what is my purpose? Why am I here? What am I supposed to do? How can I share my gifts with the world? And all these kind of questions. So my answer, first of all, was a different question. And that is, who am I? Like finding out who I really am. This is the self-awareness part. And it took me quite a while to find out. It sounds strange, you know, Oh, you, who am I? You know, like, of course, shouldn't you know who you are? Like, it kind of sounds strange. But I think that's honestly a really good question, because we grow up and so we are kids. And then we, you know, we find out about life, how to be in this world, how to live in this world. We are teenagers, we get into school, education, work, and we are really focused on the external world. We are focused on the world around us. We are focused on the rules and on the languages and on the country and on the city and on all the things, the society things of how do you behave in this world? How, what are you supposed to do and how are you supposed to act and all these kind of things. So the focus is really, really all about the outside of us. And some things, sometimes you get to more focus on yourself. But I think reflecting, and actually funny that I say that, I never really thought about it from that perspective. It's really all about the external, which eventually when you embark on a more spiritual journey, for example, or like a personal growth, personal development, you start to focus more on yourself. And maybe also for some of you, sometimes in career, where you start to focus more on, okay, what are actually my skills? What do I love to do? But I think really it's kind of neglected the fact of finding out who am I, like really? So that's a super interesting thing to explore and a great start. So question to you, Fernie. So because talking again about your photo, that I, you know, your old passport photo, when I saw it the first time, it was from, for all of you, it was from Fern's Wall Street days. She lived a completely different life. If you want to know more, you can listen to the last episode. She lived a completely different life. And when I looked at the photo of her at that time, I almost didn't recognize her. I was like, wow, this looks like a different person, you know, for many different reasons. One reason being that living in Costa Rica made your hair color much more like golden than darker red, due to the sun and the ocean. But generally, you know, it was just like, wow, what a different person. So it seems to me that this is a great touching point of asking you, you know, how was your journey of finding out who you really are? Because you had such a different life, so many contrasts.
Thank you. That's such a great question to open with too, because I didn't know that I was completely walking around New York City like a zombie when I was working on Wall Street. So at that moment, the question of who am I didn't really ever come into my field, into my consciousness, until I started practicing yoga. And that was the beginning of my spiritual awakening as an adult. And so I was practicing yoga and I realized, who am I? And how that question started to come up, because it was part of teacher training and it was part of, you know, a spiritual curriculum. And that's how I started to really discover. Oh, yes.
Sorry, I raised my finger. Okay. I just wanted to say, because that means first you notice that you don't really know who you are, or that you thought you are some person, then you don't really are that person.
Well, I figured I felt like I was a zombie. You know, I was living this life working on Wall Street and not really knowing why I was doing it, what I was doing, what the big picture was of why I even was plugging away at spreadsheets. And, you know, I would do these kind of quote, cool things working on Wall Street. And some things I could see the bigger picture, but other things seemed so minute and granular. And I was like, what? Am I just a hamster? You know, like, what is the point to all this? And I really felt like I was a zombie. I was waking up and going to work and then going home or going to the gym and then going home, making dinner, going to sleep and repeating it every day. And on the weekends, I went out and I had partied and I did all that kind of thing. And then I would repeat the week again.
So, that also becomes your identity then, right?
That was my identity.
Like,
yeah.
I think that's for many people. I mean, including myself, you know, for me, it wasn't the Wall Street. I wasn't the Wall Street guy, but I was the startup guy. Mm-hmm. I was becoming the startup guy, the cliche, like startup, like founder guy that wants to, the young hustle guy that wants to achieve stuff. So it's like we take on the identity, right? And then we live like you, we live for years and years like that. And we don't even question, okay, is that really me? And then at some point we just like believe or kind of we talk ourselves into it. Yeah, that's just me, you know, that's who I am. I'm this Wall Street person, you know, that's, I live here and this da 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 and all that. That's me.
And it was an identity based also around material things and material wealth and kind of a superficial identity. You know, it's like it's all based, or my identity was based on what I could afford and how I was spending my money, what car I had. And, you know, those kind of things were more of my identity, of the things I had, you know, like the material possessions I had. And when I started practicing yoga, I started to realize none of that matters. What mattered was the well-being of my mind and my body. And how does my body feel? And what is my body telling me? And then I got to start being more awake and conscious of all my choices.
Yeah, I think that's super interesting what you just shared, because I think that's one natural thing that you can see with many people, and even from each of our own experiences, that when you live this life and you have this identity that you kind of created and you talk yourself into and you kind of like take on, which is not necessarily super true to who you actually are, and then you naturally use all these other things to focus on, like the materialistic things, to satisfy you, right? To have some distraction, satisfaction, gratification. And especially when you don't really live so true to yourself, kind of like more like force yourself to fit into something, to live into some sort of role, some sort of city, some place, some job, it's natural for us humans to then have something to balance that out. That is, you know, many of these things, materialistic things or whatever other, you know, social things, party things, distractions we can find.
So when I became a yoga teacher, I started stripping away a lot of the material things. It continued on for about 8 years of that journey of stripping away things and layers of my identity. Though that's when the journey began. And the journey really got stronger when I became a yoga teacher and quit my corporate job and was more into how do I embody the life of an actual yogi.
So you say the total, you said 8 years for like since you started to, okay, let's find out who I really am. Maybe there's something more to it.
We're starting to practice and teach yoga until living in Costa Rica. That 8 year journey of, you know, in 2009, 10, 11 was my deepest years of practice and learning to be a yoga teacher and teacher training. And then all the way up into for about 8 years, you know, my journeys in Costa Rica, living in different places, I started to also unveil different layers of my identity. And I'm still obviously figuring it out and evolving, though those 8 years after were really around self-inquiry and really figuring out who I am, what do I love to do, what is my purpose on earth, what is my mission. So it was definitely multi-layered. It wasn't like all of a sudden I was a yoga teacher and I figured it out.
Yeah, and just as a reminder, so as shared in the last episode, is that you started embarking on this more like healthy journey, yoga teacher journey. You even started working as a side and doing your retreats and your classes beside you still working and your actual 9-to-5 job, the Wall Street job, which actually was not 9-to-5, right?
It
was
no.
More different crazy
hours. It was
hours.
Like 6 a.m. to 10 p.m., but I had some breaks in between to teach yoga.
But yeah, so the summary is you started embarking on this journey while still working on your job.
Exactly.
Your Wall Street job.
Yeah, so back to that identity is I didn't know, even when I taught yoga, I could identify myself as a yoga teacher or as a, you know, a light worker. You know, I don't really like to use those words, but, you know, I knew that I had a purpose to spread awareness and bring clarity and inspiration to a world that sometimes felt disconnected from it. So I knew that that was part of my purpose, and I knew I had these gifts to inspire people and hold space and be someone that many people felt safe with to be vulnerable, especially as a yoga teacher. It's one of the most vulnerable places on your yoga mat, which is why many people cry. They always say that they cry when they're opening their hips because they're letting out emotions. So I took joy in the fact that I could hold a safe space and a warm energy that people really loved. But at that time, I still didn't fully know myself. You know, I knew how I could serve others, but I still didn't completely know myself and fully my mission yet. I had clues. And then so it took moving to Costa Rica, I would say, because Costa Rica was when I really fell in love with myself. It wasn't so much about the external world that it was in New York or in LA. You know, in LA was very material. And as much as I still was deepening my spiritual connection so much, I had so many moments with God, with Source, with the universe, I still was also caught up in a web of my things, you know? And I still think that that's the human duality of our existence, is that we still have our things. Though I wasn't completely aware of who I am at the essence yet.
What do you mean by your things?
You know, my car, my apartment, I had
literally things,
yeah. You know, like the things that I had, my little Mini Cooper that I talk about all the time. Her name was Beatrice, and I just had so much fun in her, and that was part of my LA vibe, my identity, yeah. You know, and I think that's fine to have these things that shape you and give you joy. Though, when I moved to Costa Rica and I started walking barefoot every day and being around people that existed for the sheer, you know, joy of living in the moment and being in this beautiful nature, I started to see that there was another element of myself that I hadn't really touched upon yet.
Yeah, that's a great reminder to me. I haven't thought about it actually. Like, that's interesting for sure. I can imagine that it's definitely totally different. I mean, I know it's totally different to live here in Costa Rica from a standpoint of the materialistic theme, you know, because I get it, you know, LA or all the big cities or even small cities, it doesn't really matter so much. It is centered around things and material things, and it's also easy to get things and to buy things, and you have all the stores everywhere and you have the access and you see all the people that are dressed like that and wear that and do that, and that's not like that here. I think it's probably similar in countries like Costa Rica and many other countries too. But what I see is, okay, you have that in the big, in the capital city, in San Jose, you have that you see. I think it's coming now. Even it hasn't even been there in the past so much, but now it's coming that you see, especially like younger generations that are more striving to have the brands and have the, you know, the shoes and the things and the style. And what's called, yeah, have that, all these things, but it's totally different here where we are, because I think it's different in most of the places outside of the capital city.
I haven't bought a new yoga outfit in maybe 3 years.
Yeah, but also because you can't really.
Well, yeah, because okay, I could sometimes buy. There's many stores here that I could buy a yoga outfit. Okay. However, I've been wearing the same yoga outfits that I've been wearing since Santa Teresa, which was about 3 years ago now. So I have the same yoga clothes. I get my clothes during, you know, house swaps, like clothing swaps with my girlfriends. And back in my earlier times, I mean, I was categorized as an influencer. I was working with a lot of brands. I was getting a lot of products. And I think, well, I do know that there was a moment where I took my identity as something that really defined me of who I was. Like status identity. And I was in a plant medicine ceremony in Costa Rica a couple years ago. And I had this moment, if anyone knows about, you know, ceremonies, you sometimes get stripped down to the core of your essence and you have ego deaths. And I had this big realization of, I don't want that old identity. It was attached to me. And I realized this creates a lot of self-expectation. And I'd rather be stripped down to like figuring it out all over again. And yes.
What was your old identity? Can you explain more? Like, who was Fern Olivia at that time?
Oh, wow. You can Google
before
her.
Before the ceremony.
You can Google. You know, I had this, I still have this brand called Thyroid Yoga. And I was the steward, or the, you know, the leader of my movement of helping women with thyroid conditions. But I also, at the same time, during this time of ceremony, I was also, you know, a big advocate for women's health and hormone balance, which I still love. But I also felt like I needed a fresh start. I wanted to do something else.
Well, who was... I don't think that that's really like the just who. Touching the surface. Like, yeah. Who was Fern Olivia? Like, you talked about an identity. You talked about the identity that
ego.
You thought about yourself. Like, the inference of thing. Like, what was that?
Yeah, it was more of the ego of it. Of not a level of confidence, but I think it went into an unhealthy ego of entitlement. You know, when people have sometimes this, like, guru complex where, you know, they get excited when people follow them, kind of thing. So I had this joy of my ego of knowing that I was like celebrated so much. And that was the reason why I did things rather.
So it's like the classic thing of you connecting your identity to your validation. Social media account,
yeah.
Your Instagram, your followers, you know, what people talk about you, that people, what they think about
and beauty,
you.
I think was another thing too. Like I was very attached to, and I still am, you know, I'm a woman and I really care about my appearance. And I think there was an unhealthy attachment to my body, my physique, my, you know, those type of things. And I wanted to release that, holding that beauty as part of my identity, right? Like having more of a healthy balance and appreciation for myself. And that was a very challenging time, actually, of letting go of all those things of what I thought defined me and saying, okay, who am I without the beauty? Like, who am I? What's the importance of this Fern Olivia being inside of me? Mm-hmm. That's not just someone who can, you know, get deals and clients because of my outwardly, you know, exposure appearance.
I was just about to say that. So my summary of that journey would be going from the outside to the inside.
Exactly.
Right.
Who am I on the inside? Like, why am I so wonderful on the inside? And that's something, again, I revisit often because I want to be the version of myself that projects the radiance from the inside.
I guess for many people it would be, including myself, and I guess you, it would be more of the first step to be like, wow, I am beautiful from the inside.
Oh, yeah.
Not, you know, how am I? Why am I? The first question is actually the realization, wow, I am so beautiful from the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And the outside is just something else.
Yeah.
It's just there, you know.
It's obviously, it can be important for, you know, for your, you know, it's important to take care of your outer appearance because it is an extension of your soul. Like it's how you show up, you know, like if you want to have a very unique outward identity, for example, Jacob Collier as a musician, his outward identity is part of his brand.
Yeah, but you know right? what? I'm 100%, I would bet everything on the fact that that's just purely freely expressed. It's
freely
not like
expressed.
He thought about, oh, wow, I'm this musician, I built this brand, and that's how I got to look. And if I wear all these fancy,
right.
funny things, this will fit to my brand. And I have like, no, I think it's just like, you
it's
know, whatever.
Yeah.
He just like, okay, I don't care about my outer experience, my appearance so much. It's like, hey, that's what I feel. That's how I feel. I like this. Oh, this is a funny thing. I'm going to wear that. And, you know, whatever they think. So he's actually a great example.
Yes.
For, I would say, without knowing him personally and knowing all the details, but from what I feel, it's like a perfect example for someone that is just truly in tune with himself and his, you know, passions and the joy, what brings him joy and what he likes to express, and doesn't really know what I think he didn't really know what he did.
Mm-hmm.
He was more like, you know, I'm trying and I'm doing these things. And he started out with doing videos. For those of you who don't know, Jacob Collier is a musician, a brilliant musician, super creative, and by now super famous, multi-Grammy award-winning musician. And so I think, yeah, he was just playing around and
mm-hmm.
and having this like inner childlike force guiding him to just like do these fun videos on YouTube and finding out what makes him unique, using his voices in many different ways, and then just like dressing how he likes to be dressed and wearing his Crocs and his funny things and his colorful
He made Crocs
clothes.
Cool. He made Crocs
it's
really
awesome.
Cool.
He actually literally has a collaboration with them, the official one, I think.
Yes.
That's so cool. But yeah, it's just, that's actually a great example. That's one of the top people come to my mind when you ask me, okay, who's an example for a person that really find out his like purpose and his joy and his passion and explore it in a healthy and
yes.
authentic way. And yeah,
I love what you said about the inner child, because I think that's
absolutely
the ground zero for going back into your purpose and identity of who
yeah.
you really are. Like, what lights you up as if you were a child, you know?
Yeah.
Is it, you know, for me, it's frolicking around the beach, dancing and being completely, I don't care who's watching, I'm dancing, I'm working out, I'm jumping around. And that feels like my inner child is so freely expressed. So it's natural that I feel that way when I DJ. I feel that way when I'm guiding yoga classes. If you've seen me guiding yoga classes, I jump and I bounce around, you know?
Yeah. So back to the point, we talked about your identity and the, you know, physical, like outer, inner identity. So you started exploring your inner identity, going more inwards, and then I would say building a new general identity from within, right?
Absolutely. That's the essence of it. And it's whenever I'm questioning where to take the direction of my brand or my work right now, I like to take time off from the, you know, what I've always done kind of thing, like always teaching thyroid yoga classes or always doing the certain retreats the same way. I take a break and I say, okay, what do I really love doing? I love playing in the water, breathing, and having somatic movement that really helps me feel me and helps me come back to myself. And so when I say, oh, wow, that's what I really love. Okay. That's what I lead retreats with. You know, I do Qigong and energy movement, somatic flow and breath work on the beach. And I don't feel like I'm working.
And by the way, from a creativity coach standpoint here, one tip I can give that is proven by studies, I think even. So one thing you can do is when you like to be able to explore more freely, have some new ideas, get some new inspiration, maybe, yeah, fuel your creativity. One thing you can do is break out of your daily routines. Mm-hmm. And I love routines, and I know they're great for most people, including me. But for example, when you just want to loosen it up a little bit and get, you know, you could do things like changing tiny little things in your day-to-day life, where, for example, you have your usual way that you drive to work, drive to the supermarket. You just take a little detour, take a different route. You know, you see different things. Or just do some little things different. When you always have that one same drink, then just have a different one, you know. Or you usually go to this place and just go to a different, like, change up.
Go to different cafes, you know,
go
to a different beach, go to, you know, a different, yeah.
Well, basically anything where you can make a little change.
Exactly.
Make a different choice. And that really helps to get you out of your day-to-day routine and awaken your brain again. If you're like, oh, wow, yeah, I got to think differently now. I'm not an autopilot anymore. So it like awakens your creativity. So you can start by doing that.
That's like me right now taking all these sexy dance classes and feminine embodiment movement classes. I feel like it's not my typical routine of simply running and working out at the gym. I'm saying, okay, I'm going to use my brain. And what's happening is I'm feeling more and more myself. And that's aligning me more and more with my purpose.
Yeah. Or for example, you know, for me, when I used to have the routine that in the morning I would rather stay home and, you know, first thing go to the computer or do some, you know, sometimes creative work, sometimes different things. But for me, it would be, for example, one day to choose, okay, well, no, first thing in the morning, I just go out. You know, I did that actually a couple of days ago where I really didn't feel like being inside and sitting and being on a computer. I just went for a run. I also didn't really feel like I have a lot of energy for a run, but I did it anyway, just, you know, to see what happens. And it was actually great. So these kind of things, you know, change it up a little bit from every now and then. So what was your point before? I think you talked about what did you talk about?
I was talking about how I love figuring out what I love, like the inner child joy.
Oh, yeah.
And how when I get stuck in these moments, because I think it's for many people, you know, working for themselves or creating their own brands or, you know, giving their work to the world in a way that's you're going out there, you're taking that leap of faith, you're sharing your soul. Sometimes there's moments of pause where you feel like, oh gosh, I need all this inspiration, this creativity, this new, fresh idea. What is it? Then for me, it's okay, what does my inner child really want to do right now? And sometimes that's moments of play that can be for weeks where I'm experimenting with different classes. I'm getting inspiration. I'm taking yoga classes rather than teaching them. And that gives me so much inspiration and then reminds me, oh, wow, I have that essence. I can create something new. I've just gotten all this new inspiration, wisdom, insight, embodiment within my own body that then I feel like I'm walking my walk. I can give more again.
Yeah, so if I would summarize it, one of the most important steps would be to, first of all, become a little bit less attached to your identity on this journey, you know, this journey of finding out, you know, who am I, who is really the person that is me. So becoming less attached to your identity that you created or that society co-created or whoever, parents, friends, you know, job, yourself, to this identity that was created more like passively rather than actively by yourself. So it automatically got created by all these different factors. So first I become a little bit less attached to it. And that's also, that happened to me too. You know, I mean, I would say that for me, the thing though was that I rather more actively already created my other, my previous identity, kind of, because I had this these visions, and you know, I kind of naturally got into the whole startup community, and then I got into entrepreneurship and met all the different founders and really deep dived into it. So I kind of created that identity for me of like, yeah, you know, I'm a startup founder. I want to be an entrepreneur. I mean, I was already freelancer. So for me, it was just the next step of moving from self-employed to a business owner, so to speak. So I created that identity for myself pretty consciously. And so, you know, started working on different projects and then, you know, moved again to Germany. And eventually, so I was active in the startup scene and tried different things, failed a couple of times, but it was like really on this entrepreneurial journey, and I built this identity for myself. Okay, I'm this guy, I will build a successful startup, I'm gonna sell it, I'll have my own business and a team and all that. So I created that identity for me over years and years and really intense years. So like I shared in the last podcast, I was just working a lot, like 7 days a week, way too many hours. And so I consciously did create that identity for me and was striving for it and chasing the goals. And I made it so far that I before I moved to Costa Rica, so I had a company in Berlin, an actual physical business with 4 employees that has a physical location in the city. So I still had that business. It was a small personal training fitness studio franchise with a really cool concept, and I still like it. And it fit to me at that time because I was also really into sports, you know. So that's why I thought, well, that's cool. It's entrepreneurship, it's sports, it's health. I have a franchise model, so I have some support. And so I really created that identity over years. And I had that business for 5 years before I sold it. And I even transitioned with that while I was in Costa Rica. So
I remember.
Yeah, so we met and I still had that business. So I moved to Costa Rica pretty spontaneously at the end, and still having that business in Germany and knowing, okay, I can probably run it remotely for a while. And then it became pretty clear over the time that this wasn't really what I wanted to do anymore. And I tried to keep it alive, and I did, of course, you know, and I lived from that, because eventually it was giving me at least as much return so that I can live from it. And it was kind of a struggle though, because I felt like I was with one leg in my old life and one leg in my new life, and I was moving more and more, the step was more and more into the new life, quote unquote, but it was still kind of like in between the two worlds.
When did you decide? When was that moment that you realized that your old identity wasn't really truly aligned with your new identity? Was it a moment, or was it a leading up to a collection of moments?
Oh, that's actually a great question. It's great for me to remember too. That actually happened before I moved to Costa Rica.
Ah.
So it happened, you mentioned the plant medicine ceremony.
Yes.
So for me it was the same. At least, I mean, I guess it was probably a series of events and talks and things, but I guess the aha moment or the big release moment for me was actually when I was in ceremony one time, and I saw from a very honest perspective, I just had to realize how my life over the last couple of years went into a direction pretty strongly into one direction for several years, and then now I suddenly notice, wow, this is actually not really where I really want to go. And then I had to confront myself with all the realizations. Wow, I don't really live where I want to live, how I want to live. I don't really do what exactly I want to do. It was a nice life and all these, you know, and I was good that I had a good job. I was a good purpose too. You know, I was helping people with my team. I was doing good things, but I just noticed, wow, my life went onto autopilot for the last couple of years. And this is the point now where I realize, and I was like, oh, damn, I really built all this stuff, you know? It's kind of like I built all the stuff and now I got to unbuild it again. I was like, damn, shit, where should I even start? You know, I had this, you know, my life was set. You know, I had my flat there. I had my car there. I had my company, my physical location.
All the material things, right?
Yeah, material things.
Going back to the material things.
Of course, material things. Mm-hmm. And I also had a physical location. I had a team. I had employees that were basically living from the job they had. So I had responsibilities. You know, I was not only about me. It was also about the people I was working with. And that was also very challenging. And so I noticed, wow, damn. And then I was also still part of a startup I co-founded. And also there, it was not about me. It was also about the team, my co-founder. And I just didn't want to leave everyone. It was super challenging for me, even like talking with these people and finding out what to do and telling them, you know, oh, I think I'm gonna leave Germany. I'm going to go to Costa Rica. So that was super challenging for me. But that was the moment I realized. And I cried for like, I don't know, like an hour or so in the ceremony and within. And I don't know, for the people that have never done these kind of things, but it's just a deep, it goes deep. And like you said, stripping yourself down. And it's great when you can allow yourself to do that. And when you can release and accept the things, that's the first step, you know, accepting. I was like, wow, okay, first I got to accept my realizations. And then I figure out what to do with that.
I love that. I didn't know that story, actually, that the realization came to you in ceremony, which is why I asked it about when you had that realization about your identity. So that's really powerful.
Yeah, that's a good question. I didn't even think about it before the podcast. But yeah, that's why we talk.
Right? Yeah.
And yeah, so that was my journey. So I had the realization and then I knew, okay, wow, I got to change things. And then it was on me to figure out, okay, how do I change things? What do I change? In what projects am I staying involved, in which ways?
And it doesn't happen overnight, right? Because a lot of people think that you just take that leap and then all of a sudden your life changes.
No, so I mean, the move was really fast, also due to some other reasons. And so I moved, maybe that's for another podcast, but so the move happened pretty fast, within like a couple of weeks. I prepared everything. I sublet my flat and put some things into storage. And so I still had my business, my physical business. I was still involved in the startup as co-founder. So I continued these things for now over the distance.
And then I remember when we first started dating, in the beginning of our relationship, I remember you couldn't wait to leave that old life behind. You were so excited. And at that point, did you know your new mission yet? Did you have an idea of what that was?
Well, the funny thing is that my kind of wake-up call on my new focus came before the move to Costa Rica and before that ceremony realization. So this was probably like half a year earlier while I was traveling. I was traveling over the whole like COVID time. There was like 2 months or so.
Where you were in Brazil, right?
I was in Brazil and I didn't plan to stay that long. When I came, I just went over New Year's and then ended up staying there for over 2 months because COVID happened and the physical business in Berlin had to close over the time. So I didn't really have a reason to go back. You know, go back to cold, gray, COVID Germany winter time.
Sounds miserable.
And that was actually kind of a blessing for me, that talking about, you know, guidance again and things that happen for you and, you know, surrendering. So, okay, yeah, the business had to close. It was, of course, not easy for the business. And at the same time, it offered me the chance to stay in Brazil longer and having some more free time without needing to, you know, be so involved into running a business remotely. I still had to do things, of course, but since we were not open, we didn't have clients and customers there, and we didn't have I didn't have to talk to the team so much and, you know, schedule them and, you know, coordinate with them. So I had much more time for myself to actually be in nature and connect with myself and do some more spiritual work. And I had a dream one night where I dreamed about music. So I always played music and this was always a passion of mine. And I had this dream and I was somehow talking to a couple of friends, and then I in that dream, and I told them, wow, I always have so so many things in my head. I have so many like melodies in my head and all these ideas and all that and the music, and I wish there was a way where I could bring it all out. So I had that dream, and then I started to just play music every day. So every day in the morning, I went out, find myself a quiet place with a guitar, and I started to just like play around with something and kind of like, I don't really like to use the word, but I say like channel through me. It's just like see what comes. I didn't have any idea or plan or whatever, but just played around and wrote down some melodies and started exploring music more. And I thought, wow, this is probably what I'm really supposed to do, you know, share more of that and embark more on that journey, which is completely different than the entrepreneurial, you know, building company stuff journey. So coming back after Brazil, I moved back to Berlin. I still did music for quite a while. I did like every day, like writing songs, and I eventually learned songwriting then at that time. Yeah, that's true. So I did continue with that journey parallel. It's like you with your Wall Street job. Mm-hmm. I did a deep dive into music while I was still, you know, going back into my Berlin, Germany life and having my business to run. So I did these like courses and joined like a 1 year songwriter program and did different workshops, and I started songwriting, which I never done before, and then composing my own songs, and yeah, learned all these things and did it and had an amazing time, you know. I still remember when I wrote my first song, so I had the melody and then I had an idea for the vocal, for the lyrics, and I started writing it like 11 p.m. or something, and I was so excited about it, and I was like, okay, wow, now I can match it to one of the music pieces that I wrote. And I just kept doing it until like 5 a.m. the whole night through. I had so much energy and so much excitement. So, yeah, I kept that going. And then that led to the realization with the ceremony that I shared, and then led me to move to Costa Rica, and there I was.
It's amazing, because when I met you, you had that new, even though you had the old jobs, you had that identity as the, even before I met you, that you're a musician. That's so cool, because I remember you posted in, for anyone who doesn't know the story of how we met, Maxime posted in a WhatsApp group for Puerto Viejo, where we live, and he posted in there, and I happened to see it, and it said, I'm a musician, something around those lines, like, I'm a musician coming to town. I'm looking for musicians, like want to jam, something like that. Or, you know, I don't remember the exact phrase. And I was like, oh, musician. Like, if he hadn't put I'm a musician there or anything about the music, it like literally was a calling to my soul. Like, yes, musician. Yes, let's hang out.
Yeah, that's a cool thing that you say that, because that's one of the things I realized. So, okay, imagine me in this situation. So I still have all attachments, all the big attachments, and my old identity and my old jobs and the things and the materialistic things and all that stuff. And it's kind of like, I want to let that go, right? Mm-hmm. But then it's like, okay, damn, what a challenge. Like, how can I let all this stuff go? Like, it's big things.
It took you
know?
About a year. It's crazy. Of being together, I remember. It took almost a year.
Yeah, but you know my strategy? So my strategy, it connects to what you were saying. So yeah, I introduced myself as a musician.
Yes.
So at some point I started and I thought, okay, you know, if I want to embrace this new identity and lift this new identity, I think putting the focus more on that rather than on letting go of the old stuff,
yes,
is the best way. And that's what I really found for myself. So it's really helped me, because for quite a while I was focusing on all the old stuff. Okay, you know, letting all go all the old stuff and changing the things and do all that. And then I found, wow, you know, if I focus on my new identity and I say, hey, I'm a musician. You know, no, it's not I'm an entrepreneur or whatever, blah, blah, guy. No, hey, I'm a musician. That's what I do. It's like I'm creating the new identity for myself, and I start creating the new identity in this reality. And then naturally over time, the things will fall in place, or the things will, you know, will just fall away. You know, so mm-hmm. I don't necessarily have to focus on the letting go part so much. I just do it mentally, and then in the physical reality, these things will happen over time in divine timing, you know. So I got more and more relaxed of how that's all going to happen and how I can, you know, transition the company and find a new way to earn my living and all these things. So I started changing my identity first for myself. Again, it's like I built my old identity for myself, I started doing it again and building it up new, building my new identity. That's why we met too.
Yeah, it's exactly like our divine union co-creation started coming up. It was obvious. People started coming to us for retreats, and we were giving sound journeys and singing, and all of that was happening naturally because the two of us were identifying ourselves. I'm a musician.
Yeah, and that actually, looking back to that from now, was actually a big part of me eventually, you know, transitioning on also from my income sources, because so we started working together too. So we started doing music events and performances, and we did retreats, and we started building our life together in that way, which is really beautiful, because that gave me more more freedom to move more out of the old things, quote unquote, too. So eventually I transitioned my company in Germany, the physical company, I transitioned it to a new owner, which it took time, and it was for me very challenging because I built it up. It was something like I cared about, you know, and I wanted it to continue. I wanted the team to continue there. I wanted the people to, they all loved it, you know. So it was a really nice personal business, you know. If you have a little studio, you have regular clients that come, and you have a cool team, it's all very personal. So I had a lot of attachment to it for good reasons, you know. And of course, also I worked hard for it over some years, and I was finally at the moment where it was, you know, running and it's going well, and there are all these people that do these things remotely. But I just had to make a decision. No, that's not really authentic for me to do it from here. It uses up too much energy. And I tried over a long time, you know. I tried, and I think you can remember.
I do remember.
Then things happen. Always something happens, and then you got to take care of it.
You were doing fire drills from here, like on Germany would be in the afternoon by then, yeah. When by the time you woke up, and then you'd have to, you know, rush to your computer in the morning and figure out these things like an employee called out. And it was just so obvious that that wasn't aligned anymore, which I think is such a testament to your faith in following what was aligning, right? Like the retreats that were coming in at that moment was creating a lot of joy, and we were being of service right here where we live. You know, we live in such a beautiful place, and this place holds so much magic. And instead of working remotely for something else, you know, being right here and following what was coming into us was a really beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, gift. Like I said, it took me a while. It took me multiple check-ins with myself to be like, honestly, okay, what do I think about it? What do I feel about it? And multiple times with the same answer. And then eventually saying like, okay, you know, wow, you know, I think it's really time. So I finally follow it. It was not an easy decision. I think it was the right one, even though economically it wasn't from a number standpoint on paper, it wasn't probably the best decision. But I knew for myself, well, that's not what matters right now. It's not always about numbers and money and that things make sense. So I just made the decision. I found a good person to transition the business over. And so I think, when did I do that? So I was living in Costa Rica for almost June, right? 1.5 years.
It was around June, right? It was around when your first song was released at the same time, right?
That was kind of funny, yeah.
So it was June 15th.
Pretty much the same day, almost the same, like, okay, I officially transitioned the company on June 15th, and my song was released on June 16th, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah.
So that was literally, awesome. That's super funny. And that was like about 1.5 years after I moved to Costa Rica, a bit more than 1.5 years after I moved to Costa Rica. So I did it for quite a long time, just, you know, just for you, so you know, get a reference of, you know, how long things can take, or maybe even how fast, you know, it always depends from which perspective you look at it.
Yes, and that's the thing too, is to also be open to those new things that come in that are beyond what you expected. I'm sure when you moved to the Caribbean side of Costa Rica and declared that you're a musician, you wouldn't have dreamed that in a year I don't know how many retreats we made, but the abundance that came in was marvelous, you know.
Just to give you a reference, so the first time I actually made money from music was a couple of months before we met in another place in Costa Rica, where I met this other musician guy at a jam session, and he got invited to perform at a restaurant, you know. And so he asked me to join, and I joined in with him. So he was taking the lead, and I just joined in with some percussion, and we played. And I think I got around maybe like $20 and a free meal or something like that. So and they had great cocktails, so like alcohol free. I had like three of them because that's how you start out as a musician. Yeah. It's a classic thing. You
it's
know?
So classic.
You play for food.
We
and
did
drinks
that at Birobet together too, and
I remember.
Here.
Yeah, so when we met, yeah, so
we had a great vegan restaurant. We were like, sure, we'll take a brunch for playing music.
We did it for fun though, and that was a good thing. So many of the things we did, especially at the beginning, we were able to just do for the fun. We liked the people, we liked the locations,
we liked
to
each
play.
Other.
We liked to play, and so we didn't have to do it for the money. That was a great thing, you know. It's like you when you still had your Wall Street job. It's like me when I still had my income from my business. Mm-hmm. Over all the time being in Costa Rica was also super valuable for me because I had, you know, time here to pursue other things. So, but yeah, then eventually that was my start, you know. And then, okay, we did the retreats, which obviously was more bringing in more income than just playing in a restaurant for food or, you know, for some change.
And it's so interesting because you were also years, I don't know how long before, but you were really excited to also guide retreats and personal development experiences, right? That was something that you were excited about doing at some point. Right?
Yeah, remember, I mean, that goes back to my time. I think I shared in the last podcast where I went into like personal development, and I co-organized a big event in Berlin with some friends, and some small events, but one big like conference, like speaking, like a really cool event about personal development, your own story and your dreams and goals and all that. So I was in that world and I liked it, and sharing from my own experience too. And that was beautiful to do. Offer something that reflects that or includes it in some way. You know, the retreats we did, they were very often centered also around other people, you know, finding themselves, you know. And we, of course, we had like an approach of like yoga and mindfulness, meditation, and just a relaxation, and depending on the person, some more spiritual, some less spiritual, you know, programming and approaches. But it was all centered about personal growth, basically, and healing sometimes.
And what's so amazing is that if you hadn't left your old life, quote, quote, or the fitness center and some of the other work, the freelancing work that you were focused on, if you hadn't let that go, the new projects couldn't, the retreats, you wouldn't have had the time to do it.
Exactly. So that's one thing I found. So that, okay, the first thing, like I said before, okay, creating a new identity for yourself, like becoming unattached from the old one, creating a new one, focusing on the new identity you want to have, and just starting to say it and starting to live it and be it and
embody
move like it, embody it.
It's
exactly.
So important. The embodiment is everything.
Exactly. And the second thing is, by focusing on the transition, focusing on the new things, really focus on making space, making space for them to come in, making space for opportunities to come in. Making space for your new life, quote unquote.
And any people that you want to do that with, for example, that's so important too. It's like having that space for that magic to come
in.
Yeah,
I mean, because oftentimes that's totally connected, right? So you have your identity and you have your job and you have people that are attached to that, people that are connected to that. You know, you have your social circles. Oftentimes they are very related to your job too. They can be, right? And then I think you had that in Wall Street too, or in New York or LA. You probably had the people, the social circles, the what they were doing, their hobbies and their passions, their values, their style of living. And it can be very supportive, and it can also be very much the opposite. And sometimes it really helps to build up new circles too and find new people. And I know that you had several examples of that, especially when you moved to Costa Rica. You found different people that have different approaches to health and to, you know, living and different values of materialistic versus, you know, the other things that count more, you know. You had a person that brought you to, you know, get these barefoot shoes and walk barefoot and make different food choices and these kind of things. And, you know, stop wearing, you know, what was it, like makeup, lipstick, high heels?
Yeah, my friend from Nosara, he was an inspiration in my whole movement in Costa Rica. He was one of the reasons I moved there because I saw this really, really authentic jungle hippie kind of thing, you know? And I was like, wow, I want to embody the freedom that he felt and the, you know, the connection to earth, walking barefoot and not wearing makeup to yoga classes anymore and that whole energy. You know, he would say, why do you straighten your hair and wear makeup to my yoga classes?
Yeah, and I think that's amazing. It's amazing to have people like that in your life. Oh, because yeah, when you, let's say you're in a circle,
instead of getting offended, I was very much like, actually, why do I do that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, let's say you are in a circle like New York where everyone does these things and wears makeup and has that, and so you're on these,
nothing wrong with you if you wear makeup, by the way,
it's just, you're on these totally circles fine. Yeah, yeah, I know, it's just an example. Yeah, yeah, it's totally just an example, but it's just an example for you being in circles that of many people doing the same things. Mm-hmm. And if you want to break out of that and find a new version of yourself that maybe doesn't do that, or maybe it's not authentic for you, then it's super helpful to have a new circle too. And this can be for anything, yes, whatever you do. It's just one example, you know. It can be for many different things. It can be, another good example would be the food example, you know, like nutrition, you know, diet.
Yes,
it's the classic example, you know.
Yeah, being around the energies of the people who embody the lifestyle you wish to anchor in within yourself, it's having that around you and the people that will up level you in, it doesn't have to be career, but it can be, for example, I'm now in these circles of women that are really embodying their goddess energy and their sensuality and dancing, and for me that's so important for my next level of where I'm taking my work with breathwork and somatic healing. It's really having that embodiment. So being around people, women that are really showing me the way and showing me how they live their life in that feminine way, I'm finding so much inspiration and joy in that. And that's a new circle for me. You know, I have friends that embody their feminine energy, but this is a whole different way that I've never experienced.
And that was one reason why it was so easy for me to get into the whole startup community entrepreneurship game, because I was in London, you know, surrounded by all the people going to all the events, going into that circle. And then everyone I knew, everyone had to deal with, except my flatmates at that time, they were really into that world. And then I moved to Berlin, and same there. I had good friends and I met people on events, and then they were all about it there. Most of them were self-employed. They were running their own businesses or building them up or finding it out for themselves or being on that journey. So it was just the circle of that, you know? So my whole life was about that. I had eventually some friends maybe that were not really fitting into that, but most of the people I had to do with were really in that circle. So that was 24/7, like all the time, conversations about that, thinking about it, talking, even when I was meeting a friend, talking about these things, which was cool at the time and helpful because that's what I wanted to do. You know, I wanted to, that was my identity. So it was great. And at the same time, now changing it up, it's also helpful to have a whole different circle.
Yeah. And many different circles with different, you know, when you have the men's circle and the brotherhood and the, you know, you have different people embodying different.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, like the focus and the values change, you know.
Yeah.
And so obviously I still like my knowledge, my experiences, and I still like to talk to some of the old friends, and I still like to do some business stuff.
Yeah,
I'm still involved in one of the startups. So it's like the last kind of like thing that I kept from my quote-unquote old life, because I still love it, you know, to some extent, but just much, much more reduced, you know. It's really not the main focus anymore, which is healthy for me. It's much more balanced, and my main focus is really on creating here, living here in Costa Rica, you know, creating music, doing different things. And even there, I'm still at the beginning, you know. I'm still finding out more what exactly I'm doing. I have all these ideas, and then it's just about structuring it and, okay, where to start. And I mean, I know we talk a lot about these things, right?
Yeah. And that's, so I want to circle back to, you know, your identity, you know who you are now with music, right? We talked about this a little bit earlier today when we were having our smoothie bowls, our other daily ritual. And we were talking about the spaciousness that happens sometimes where the universe gives you, if you look at it that way, which it tends to really help when you get pauses in between the projects that come in that are giving you abundance or supporting your lifestyle. And all of a sudden you have these a hiatus where there's not a penny coming in, and you have two choices. One, the choice could be to freak out and go in scarcity mode and do something that you used to do that generated income fast. But for example, something of your old identity, there's that, or there's leaning into that pause and creating from your heart and doing something that you love to do. For example, creating music, learning how to mix and master your own tracks, writing songs, playing new instruments, embodying your practices, embodying your art. For me, it's like taking classes, right? So let's talk about that before we wrap up.
Yeah, that's a great question, a great topic. So two things about that, because maybe I'll start with the first one would be, I also listened to a podcast the other day, and that was really inspiring too. It was by a still young woman, but ex-Olympic athlete. And she said something like, so she found that when pursuing any goals, it's helpful if your likelihood doesn't depend on it.
If your livelihood doesn't
livelihood.
Depend
on it. Livelihood. Yeah. I said likelihood. If your livelihood doesn't depend on it.
I got you.
She says, yeah, okay, there are many good examples of people that really like need the goal. You know, they need to, like they really needed what they are striving for because they have these like rock bottom moments and they're really like pushed and then they live on the street. There are all these, you know, the amazing stories of the people that, you know, lost everything or, mm-hmm. you know, start from zero and then they make it and build it up. That's the one thing they do. There are enough cases like that. And at the same time, I think I agree to her saying that, okay, it's much different energy when you pursue anything, any goal, and you are not so much attached to the actual outcome, so that you know, okay, it's fine, you know, even if I don't reach it, even if I don't make it there or don't do this, it's still okay. I'm
still
good.
Fun,
you know,
along
I'm safe. I'm good, you know, because what they said is that then the energy is different. You come much more from energy of curiosity than from maybe even fear. Because when you really need something, when it's really your life depends on it, it's like a fear-based energy. So much rather the start point would be to be able to explore it with curiosity and more like playfulness. We talked about it earlier. And have something where, yeah, you know you're good. You're okay. Either way, no matter what the outcome is. So that's the one thing which is super interesting. And the other thing is that, so I talked with my dad about it recently because we are all in some sort of journey or on the moment in the journey where there are so many things that are uncertain. And then we had a long talk about these things and about sharing about our realizations and learnings. And so the notion is that basically I had this realization after that I shared with you today. And I thought, wow, we humans, it's very common that we have these cycles of things, right? So we have cycles of things that happen and then we oftentimes repeat them until we actually learn it, you know? So, and we're all spiritual beings. So I know some people might not be as spiritual and there's also a lot of esoteric things, but essentially we're all spiritual beings, right? So I would say there are some signs that come to us from, if you want to say the universe, you know, if you say it spiritually. So for example, the whole topic about finding your purpose and about what you do and ending some things and starting new things, then as you just said, there can be moments of, yeah, like total uncertainty. Let's say you transitioned out of your last thing and you're kind of transitioning into the new, but you don't really know how exactly the new will look like and how it will make you enough income to live from, and it's like a lot of uncertainty. And so many people, I would think for all of us, this is kind of scary, right?
Yeah, there's
because we humans like certainty
and stability, and there's exactly. such a an easy urge to go back to the old thing that was working and was making money. And yet your soul is like, I really don't want to do that thing.
And that was exactly, and that was my realization. My realization was that, yeah, so, okay, it creates fear. Uncertainty creates fear. And we are able to stay with that to some extent. Some people are able to stay with that easier and longer, and some not. And so that's exactly what I talked with my dad about too. So how big is your trust? Your trust in the divine, your trust in the unknown, your trust in God, your trust in the universe, your trust in the journey. You know, the bigger your trust is, the easier it will be for you to surrender and to stay longer in it. Mm. And what I experience for myself, and what I know from you too, and from many other people, is that the classic thing is to circle around.
Yeah.
And okay, we are able to stay with the uncertainty for some time, and eventually we just, you know, we turn around, we take the shortcut, and we go back to taking on part of the old life. You know, okay, I take on that one freelance job again. I do that thing again, you know, that's not really authentic or what I really want to do, but okay, just for the money, for whatever.
We did that. So we did little personal thing. We did that several times.
We did that too, yeah.
Yeah, we did that together several times, and the universe was like, guys, you don't really want to chef these retreats for cleanses. You want to do music. That's your passion.
Yeah, it's the classic thing of, you know, okay, the purpose and the passion versus the money. Finding the overlapping point of it.
Here's the kicker though. The thing that's so interesting is that for example, we were like, okay, we need this money. It's really good money. And it's not what we love to do, you know, chefing. We love making great
food. But it's also not really
food.
Bad. So definitely, yeah. Like, then you kind of like start
to
reason for
like
yourself.
About three attempts at it. One was like chefing for family over the holidays or something. And then, you know, it didn't go through, which was actually better. However, you know.
Yeah, sometimes you're lucky. Just to say, yeah. Pick on that.
Sometimes the universe will just be like, just kidding.
Sometimes you're actually lucky and you're about to make a decision, or you make the decision, and then the universe kind of like saves you that learning, you know?
Yeah.
That's good. That happened to us in one time.
Other times, not so much. And here, just to give you a quick summary of that, is that there's a pause that can happen if you say no to that opportunity on your own, right? Then the universe usually gifts you with what opportunity is really aligned with you, or you get the free time, the creative time to move fully more into your practice, into your embodiment, into the creative time, rather than spending that time doing something that really wasn't aligned with you anyway.
Yeah, and that again comes back to what I shared before is, okay, we have the challenge of staying in it, staying in the uncertainty and doing it. Okay, first time it happens, fine. You're okay, you know, something else will happen. Eventually I will get that project or some abundance will come in, whatever. So for some while, usually we are fine staying with it. We are fine being in it.
In the uncertainty.
In the uncertainty, yeah. And being in the moment and just surrendering to it. And then, yeah, like I said before, there's usually the moment where, okay, we cycle back and then. But what I found, my realization was, okay, this might be the trick here to actually really have so much trust, and it's the only focus, really trust, and really stay in it. Stay in it until all the end, because you know, okay, what do you have to lose? And you know you're going to be fine, and you trust you're going to be fine. And I know this is probably the biggest challenge ever, but really stay in it long enough so you can finally have your breakthrough, because that's the time where then you don't have to circle back again. Then we don't have to go into the same cycle again for like 10th time. If you stay in it long enough one time, you have your breakthrough and you move through it, and then you're on the next level.
Yes, especially if I think that's the gold to leave this episode on, because that's the concept of really getting to know yourself, right? Summarizing back, you know yourself, you found your mission, you found your purpose. Why circle back and loop into the old cycles that weren't really aligned with you? What happens if you stay with it long enough to actually have that breakthrough?
Yeah.
Mic drop.
So, exactly, yeah. that's a realization. That thinking.
I think that's a great way to close. And,
yeah.
Oh, so, you have one more thing to add.
No, I mean, yeah, it's a great way to close. And at the same time, we talk about it a little bit more, because it's just so, yeah, beautiful to have that journey. And I think it's also totally fine to circle back. And you can do it as often as you want because it's helpful. You know, it's helpful
to really get committed. We learn, yeah.
Well, we for different reasons. One thing is contrast. Mm. We experience over and over again. That's also what I did, you know, keeping the company so long and doing it remotely for so long and having all these moments again where something happens and I wake up in the morning and have to deal with it and something happens and I feel the weight of the responsibility. So just, okay, contrast. Mm-hmm. If you need another round of contrast, okay, go for it. There's another round of contrast for you.
I love contrast.
And by the way, this can be with job, profession, this can also be with relationships, this can be with environments where you live, this can be with people you share, like flatmates, this can be with a neighbor, this can be with anyone, you know, mm-hmm. friends, you know, circle back for the contrast. The other thing is circle back for the learnings, because mm-hmm. maybe there are just a couple of things that you still yes. haven't really learned and integrated. I had to circle back so many times in many things, you know, until I finally got it. That's how we humans work.
Yeah.
We learn by repetition and we learn by experience. Most of us, the best, learn in these ways. So, okay, cycle back, contrast, learnings, and then, yeah, you have more time to get comfortable breaking out. You have more time, maybe you even have more time to build up some cushions, maybe financially, maybe more time to prepare for yourself. That's really a personal thing of what way is easiest for you or the best for you to do it. For some people, it's just like jumping in the cold water is the best thing. For some people, it's actually good to, you know, breathe a bit more and do a meditation and, you know, prepare for, like, you know, if you talk about the water thing.
Yeah.
So it's really personally. So there's no like judgment or anything. It's just like, hey, do as many cycles as you like. And, yeah. and eventually when you're ready, like, hey, this time it's good. I'm gonna go through it.
It's really nice to have those cycles too. And it's nice to go through it on your own rather than all of a sudden the universe or spirit says, okay, human, like they kick you out of the, you know, you lose the job or those things that...
It's also good.
It's nice. Well, yeah, that's also good. But sometimes when you're proactive, it makes the burn a little less strong,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. That's a personal thing. For some people really need that kick ass.
Yeah.
And for some, it's
true.
Amazing.
For us, in one of the situations that we showed us that, okay, that's not our purpose anymore. I mean, shifting out. Sometimes the intensity of it, if it's really strong, it really is like the last straw.
That's the thing. I would say from my experience and from yours, and so
some people need it intense.
The summary would be that the faster you learn, the more gentle transition can be. And then when you just don't learn it, you don't get it. I mean, of course, like the universe is like, okay, you need a more intense version of that. Maybe he gets it then. Maybe when we increase the intensity a little bit and make it a bit more uncomfortable for him, he eventually will learn it, that this is not the right thing or right place or whatever, you know?
Isn't that so funny? It's like watching the series that we watch, The Good Place. And it kind of talks, it shows about, you know, how humans sometimes need to be given all these different scenarios over and over again until you finally got the lesson.
Yeah.
Made the change.
It's a great example for it. Yeah. Totally. So, I think that's all that I have to say about
that. We have so much more to share. I think that there's going to be another continuation for this one. I have some new ideas for the next episode. And we'd love to hear yours, too. See what inspired you and what moved you and where you'd like to see our conversation going next time.
Yeah. So, thanks for listening. And again, love to hear from you. We got beautiful email already, just like a couple of days ago. We will share the next podcast. And
yes, we will share.
Yeah, it's always nice to hear from you what your takeaways are and maybe your personal journeys and experiences and get into more conversation.
Personally. Absolutely. It really does light us up to hear from you. And we do read every email and message, and we get excited together when we get these emails, and it brings a lot of joy to our life to connect and to learn more about you. So for sure, say hi and let us know how you feel about all of these topics. All right.
That's for now.
That's bye for bye. Now.